Hello, everyone, and thank you for listening to my podcast, Supernatural Choices. I'm your host, Joe, and I really do appreciate you guys being on and listening to the podcast. Sorry I've been gone for the last few weeks, but I will continue to start releasing episodes again once every Saturday, and I'll get on out there. So in this podcast, what we do is we talk about supernatural creatures, and I'll talk about the good parts, the bad parts, and that way you can get a real informed decision that if you were ever given a choice of being the supernatural creature, whether or not you should go forward with it or just pass on it. Now, in this week's, we're going to talk about vampires, and vampires are really just a cool monster. There's a lot of things about vampires that are out there. There's so many books, movies, TV show, video games, you name it. There's been so much literature about vampires and really going back, you know, hundreds of years, which is really cool on there. Let me get into it as far as the first part, as far as going over brief history of vampires. And a couple things that we got to realize is that there's been undead stories and stories about monsters or people waking up from the grave for, you know, since the dawn of humanity. There's always been some type of monster where someone dies, they come back to life, and they either haunt the living person or they go after a living person or whatnot. So from that standpoint, you know, as far as the undead part go, they've been around a long time. But there is a difference with a vampire. They're not an evil spirit, not like a ghost or anything, nor are they like a reverend where they're just going to come back and they got this one thing that they want to finish. And then they're going to, you know, go back to wherever they was and go back to being completely dead. No, really what vampires, they're a monster that's on their own category. And there's a lot of things that are close to being a vampire, but they're not quite there. Right off the top of my head, I can just think of there's a TV show. It's a cartoon anime show called Demon Slayer. Really interesting, fantastic show, really awesome. They came out with a movie, which is doing really well in Japan. But one of the things is when you look at the description of the monsters there, that they are, that they're undead. They were people and they're moving around. They have various different abilities. They do kill humans. And from that standpoint, you would look at the actual monsters and the way they operate. They're afraid of sunlight. You would think that, oh man, that's a vampire, but they're not. They're not vampires. It's from Asia, and it's a separate monster. So we do have to keep that in mind, that there are some monsters that are very close to being vampires, but they're not quite on there. Looking at some of the history of vampires, that it really got started with a series of poems that was in the 1800s. And from that, we saw the first full novel, which was Bram Stoker's Dracula. That was the first full novel with the vampire inside. Over here in America, we know there was a huge phenomenon as far as that the black and white movie Nosferatu, which is an amazing movie, just showing a vampire. And, it, you know, it was one of those things where it's pretty awesome as far as what they were able to do at that time and to develop the actual monster the way it was. From there, you get the first iterations of the sexy vampire. You have Dracula with Bela Lugosi, which is a great movie where the vampire gets her accents from. And then you have the Christopher Lee Dracula, which was over-the-top sexy is what it was on there. It really increased the sex appeal for Dracula is what it did. So it was less like a monster, more like appealing to the female gaze, also to appealing to this overall sex appeal of this vampire coming in at night and the women, you know, going swooning over him. There was a series of movies afterwards, all smaller movies, bigger movies, as Blackula. You know, there was a lot of different types of movies. But afterwards, the next really big hit was the Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which was pretty fun. I think that came out in the 90s is what it was. You also have the original Fright Night that came out, and then the remake of Fright Night. Buffy the Vampire Slayer was actually, you know, it's funny. It started as a, I think it started as a movie, and then was a comic book, and then it got a TV show, and it went all over the place is what it did. But what was interesting is that it brought comedy to vampires and funny situations, and it was actually pretty cool that they were able to do that, and it was very successful is what it was. But of course, like I mentioned, you got Fright Night, which again, the original, and then they had the remake that came out sometime later. Both were great movies. I highly recommend it. They're all pretty funny, which is just a really entertaining time. Fast forward to Interview with the Vampire with Brad Pitt, with Antonio Banderas, with there's Tom Cruise inside of it. And it just really, it's an amazing movie showing a vampire the passage of time and how they interact together. It brought in even more of the sex appeal of the vampire. And maybe that's a little bit wild. They're probably not my favorite monster because they get away from the monster part as far as like just being a true hardcore monster. And there's a lot of it where it is just kind of more the sex appeal is what it is. So I'm a fan of it, but not the biggest fan in the world of vampires. But I just want to mention a few other really great movies and TV shows to check out if you haven't. There's The Lost Boys, which is just an amazing movie with vampire, the boys, they're interacting together. There's bullying. There's all this kind of just a really fun time with the Coreys. It was really just a great movie, a lot of fun. I know a lot of people have seen already the Underworld movies, but that was, especially the first one, really interesting take on a vampire, the vampire hunters, vampires versus werewolves, Kate Beckinsale, her character, being a warrior and going out and the whole hybrid, really cool movie. Then there was, obviously there was Dracula Dead and Loving It with Leslie Nielsen. Another comedy vampire. So there has been some movements as far as like being comedy and whatnot, but a lot of the vampires been kind of more around the sex appeal is what it's been. Especially you get into like Twilight, True Blood, you know, that those are movies that are really just meant geared towards more of that sex appeal from that standpoint. But there is some true horror, such as Let the Right One In, which is, there was the, I think it was a Polish film at first. And then there was the American version, is what it was. But I recommend seeing both of them. I like them both. I thought they were very good movies. Very interesting from that standpoint. Final couple of references I just want to touch on, be remiss without mentioning, as far as like, there's the originals, there's the TV show Supernatural. There's the amazing movie Blade. Along with the comic book is actually pretty good too. The original comic book of Blade. There's just so many TV shows, movies, plays, all about vampires. There's great literature out there. So do check those out. Now, when we talk about description of vampire, kind of like I mentioned before, there's some monsters that are similar to vampires, but they're not vampires. So to be a real true vampire, the first part as far as being a vampire is you can only be a vampire with a vampire bite. That is typically how someone becomes, where the vampire bites you and then you drink some of the vampire's blood, or the vampire gives some of his blood to you. That's the first way and probably most popular way that someone would become a vampire that we see in literature. There's also the part as far as being born a vampire, which is happened with Blade, and there's a few others. Where you're a descendant of some vampire, and no one ever goes over in anatomy as far as with an undead person and how they can have an actual baby being born. It's more like vampire, quote unquote, magic is what happened. But in the story of Blade, she was his mother had gotten bitten and attacked by a vampire, and right before he was born, and so he was kind of like in this halfway status part. He got some of the blood, born, And that's why he can be in a daylight, which is actually really cool. Then there is being cursed by God. There's some books in that talks about that as far as Dracula being cursed by God. And that's why he's a vampire and can't go inside the actual light there. So there's a few different ways that someone can actually be a vampire. As far as what the description goes, they are undead. So they're not living and nor are they dead. They're in that weird state of being. Typically vampires, they got sharp retractable teeth that have come down, and that's what they use to drink and defeat the blood with. There is some where they can't take them out. They're just going to be stuck there at all times. That can happen. Sometimes the vampires, they can have unique abilities such as the ability to fly. They can turn to bats or other type of animals or turn to multiple bats. It really all depends on what the writer, author is describing a vampire for. When we think about some of the other abilities they have, typically they have superhuman strength, speed, durability, stamina. They're no longer bound by oxygen or, you know, they need lungs or they're limited by the capacity of the muscles because they're undead. They no longer have that issue to worry about. So they can run around, fling around as fast as they can. There's also vampires where they change shape. When you think about Bram Stoker's Dracula, where he turns into a wolf at one point. And so there's that part of it as far as, but that's typically not that much is seen as far as what vampires actually changing their shapes. There's just some movies that do it from time to time. Vampires, they do have the ability to make thralls, which are very, very useful. Especially with vampires needing to have some kind of daytime guardian. So if they get a thrall is basically someone that is even less of in between being human and being dead or being undead. It's a bit where someone, the vampire would drink from somebody's blood, but not give them their blood, nor would they actually kill that person. So that the person is just walking around, you know, almost this kind of comatose like days fashion, and they listen and do whatever the vampire says is what it is. And they're not really dead. They're not really alive. They're somewhere in between, and they can be conscious. They can be talking and whatnot, but they're losing their humanity in that kind of state is what can happen. So that's what when you think about thralls, but they're super useful for the vampire because the vampire needs a daytime guardian, somebody to look over his affair, somebody that can do things during the daytime. And that's when the thrall comes into play because they can act as a daytime guardian. They can, obviously, if they're recently turned into a thrall, then they can walk around and they can do things such as open bank accounts, go buy things, buy a house, and all those kind of things on there that typically the vampire would not be able to do. We've also seen with abilities of the vampire, which are some of them are being able to read thoughts, hypnosis. There's also some literature where they'll say vampires, they're able to sense the blood flow inside of a person. And that's how they're able to dictate on what that person's thinking or what that person's doing. Some vampires have super hearing where they can hear really well, or they can sense blood. And a lesser known ability is like when they can be able to control cold or breathe fire. We've seen that in some of the literature there. But, you know, overall, they have a wide range of abilities that they can use. But the one of the really key to the vampires is that they have a long life because they're no longer dead. Because they're not dead, they're not alive, they're undead. They can stay in that status forever. As long as they have a steady supply of blood that they drink, they no longer have to worry about going old or dying, getting sick from that standpoint. With the weaknesses of being a vampire, there's just a few, such as sunlight. Sunlight typically burns the vampire. Most vampires, they cannot be out in the sun. There's the Dead Man's Blood, which was put into motion quite a bit in a TV show, Supernatural, where if you take a vampire, you put Dead Man's Blood inside, then that will poison a vampire. That make him sick. You've also seen that in the Interview with a Vampire with Tom Cruise, that he gets Dead Man's Blood inside of him, or Dead Children's Blood, actually, and he has negative effects from it. There, another weakness for a vampire is having a stake through the heart. That typically, that's the old thing where you put on one stake in there, stake it inside, and the vampire, they're dead. Or there's decapitation, getting your head chopped off. Fire, where you burn a vampire alive. There is the werewolf bite also, where if a werewolf bites a vampire, typically they'll have negative effects where they'll get sick or they can possibly die from it. And it's one of those things that's kind of nice about those two animals, that they are mortal enemies, and you can always come up with some really good stories as far as them fighting together. Next part is, you know, final couple parts on actually weaknesses of vampires, that typically they are affected by magic. So magic can affect a vampire. And in some of the literature, they'll have that vampires can't go inside churches. They're afraid of crosses, prayer. And that can happen also, too, as far as with there's some of their weaknesses. And it's really going to depend on the author there is what it is. But getting back to being a supernatural being in our modern world, what would happen? What would be the cool parts if you were a vampire inside our modern world? So supposing you go out, you go outside today, and actually not today because the vampire wouldn't be there in the daytime. You go out at night and you're all by yourself, and somewhere or another you encounter a very nice gentleman or a woman, and you strike up a great conversation. They seem really positive, and they say, "Hey, by the way, I'm a vampire. Do you want to be a vampire? I can turn you into one." Should you take that choice or not? Should you walk away from being a vampire, or should you go ahead and join them? Say, "All right, let's do it right now. I'm ready to be a vampire." Well, if you did go for it with it, what would be some of the cool parts? There would be some really interesting, cool parts as far as you being a vampire. The first thing, obviously, is the long life and not being affected by diseases or most elements. That would be really cool, that you wouldn't have to worry about that part on there. And you'd be able to see quite a bit of cool stuff. You know, pretty much you'd have all the time in the world to do all the things that you want, and not feel like there's a big limit to it. The other part, as far as the cool part of being a vampire, is like some of the cool thing is you wouldn't have to eat anymore. You wouldn't have to work out. You wouldn't have to worry about staying in shape, because you are undead. Your physiology is going to work a little bit different than it would as a regular person. So you can completely strap and get rid of your gym membership. You no longer have to worry about that or worry about if you're eating organic food or not. No. All that stuff goes out the way. You don't have to worry about that anymore. There's also the cool part as far as having those, you know, those mental powers, the ability to read thoughts, understand people, understand their blood flow, tell them people lying, all that kind of things on there. That's pretty cool. And that could turn really handy when you're trying to look for a job from or whatnot on there. So that's another really cool part as far as you being a vampire in our modern world. Again, you don't get sick and you don't have to worry about a bed or furniture. You know, you just need a coffin or somewhere nice and dark. You can even use a safe and just sleep inside a safe. That'll probably be a little bit more safer than I didn't mean to say safer, but it would actually be a much safer environment than if you were to use a coffin, because the coffin, anybody can come by, open up. You take the safe, you close it up inside, get one that can open up from the inside, and no one can get inside there. No one can affect you during the daytime, which could be really handy. There is a question as far as where do you get your blood from? Because you are a vampire and you're going to need to drink some blood. Although there has been stories where some vampires have completely given up and they're not going to do it anymore. There's got to be, and from that standpoint, so there could be, yes, there could be Casper, the friendly vegan vampire. Yes, that could be a possibility. But I'm pretty sure for most vampires, they're going to have to drink some type of blood from somewhere, which you could try to get it from a blood bank. Maybe you work inside a blood bank, or you got connections inside the blood bank. Maybe you send your thrall inside there, so that as people start to give and donate blood, your thrall or yourself, you guys can go in there, bring it at night, take some blood, and that's what you can use to drink on. Is what you could use. There's also, you could try to, prey on, I guess, tourists that travel inside some areas. It'd have to be a high volume area like Spain or Florida or New York City, where they just got a ton of tourists that fly in and come in all the time. Maybe in those instances, you can use your mental or your psychic powers and zap some tourists and convince them to give you your blood. You take their blood and then send them on their merry way. And hopefully the spell that you cast on them, where they don't understand what's happening, that lasts until they're well away from where they are. And you can just kind of keep traveling around that way. And maybe that'd actually be pretty cool, because you'd be able to get to see all these different really nice parts of the world. At the same time, you can get your blood. You can go all over, and it's a win for almost everybody. So for the person you got the blood from, it's definitely not a win for that person, because they're losing their blood and they're not getting anything out of it. You could pay some homeless people. That could be an option, as far as just trying to pay homeless people for blood. I'll just leave that at that on there. But that could be an option also too, as far as where you get your blood from. But you are going to have to find a place to get your blood from. It's very rare that you ever hear like someone completely just not drinking blood, vampires, I mean. Then there is some type of income stream. Even though you're a vampire, you are going to need to have some type of lair or some place to stay at. Some place that's safe, that you can stay away from the sun's rays. You can't stay in a forest at all times. That's not really that... that's not going to help prevent the sun rays from getting at you. You could live in a cave, but that may just get kind of horrible after a while, just living inside a cave the entire time. So it's much better for you to have a house. So if you have a house, you're going to have some type of income stream. So what are some of the, and when I say income, yeah, you could just zap somebody or use your psychic powers in order to convince them to let you live in their house, or give you the money to have you go and buy a house that's mortgage free or something of that sort. You could do that. That could be an option, but I do worry about the long term effects if you use your mental psychic thought powers in order to convince somebody. Will that be able to last the entire time for the rest of your life? Or is it going to be like a temporary thing where eventually they come out of their haze and they remember, hey, I just gave this guy $500,000. I'm going to get my money back. maybe that's the situation that happens. So, but in any case, if you did have to get a job, suppose you did want to get a house, you want to pay for it yourself. You don't have to worry about, zapping people and use your psychic powers to convince them. You say, hey, I want to have my own income. How would you go about getting a job as a vampire? You do have to realize you cannot be out in the sun. So there are some really cool jobs that you'll be able to do. Some exciting jobs and just some cool ones. I was just thinking first of all, you wouldn't be able to be an athlete for the most part, just because being out in the sun, athletes are constantly being drug tested nowadays. And it's too many cameras, too many eyes, and it's way too high profile. So that wouldn't necessarily be an option. You could be an amazing, great lawyer, especially when you think about the powers of the vampire, the hypnosis, the hearing, the sensing of blood, the reading thoughts, using thralls to get additional information. You could be an amazing, kick-ass lawyer. Another job you can have as a vampire is a gambler. Just imagine going down to Vegas and just being a professional gambler, going to the casinos and winning at any type of game you can imagine, except for the one-armed bandit, any human interaction game. Again, you are a vampire. You can hear, you can sense, you can feel the blood flow inside people. You can read their thoughts. So you'd just be an amazing gambler. Another really great job would be actually work inside a lab. You'd have to somehow, because I mean, most healthcare fields, they're going to have all different types of tests as far as like vaccines. There's all different type of blood work as far as you have to do drug testing when you work inside healthcare nowadays. But if you can somehow convince or use a thrall or, you know, use your hypnosis in order to convince someone to hire you, you get the job and you work inside a blood lab, that would be money gold because you'd be right there with all the people, be able to get the blood and drink as much blood as you want. And you got a pretty good job too, where you got 401k benefits, all that kind of good stuff. That's the easy life for a vampire. There is, there's some cool jobs that, you know, that a vampire could have. But some are really exciting jobs would be, you know, being in a biker gang. You wouldn't have to worry about, even if you got sent to jail, it's fine. You're a vampire. You're going to live for the next 100 years. Who cares? And you go to jail, you just run to jail. That's what you do. As a leader of a biker gang, and I assume that you being a vampire, you eventually work your way up and be the leader. You would just have an amazing time. You'd be able to travel all over the country with your biker gang, selling drugs or what, doing whatever they do, getting in fights, running in and out of bars, old lady, old man, all kind of problems like that. But it's all good because you're a vampire. Eventually, if you ever get tired of that lifestyle, you can just leave. You don't have anything to worry about. Get a thrall that can help you get set up somewhere and just move on from that location. Another exciting job is being a private investigator. That would be really nice, especially with being able to use thralls, hypnosis, to send people out, get information, and follow up on leads. That would be a great job for a vampire. A couple other really cool jobs as far as like owning a bar, a restaurant, owning a casino, not being a person, the gambler, but being the person that's in charge and responsible for all the people inside a casino. That would be really well with a vampire, especially most casinos, they cover the windows for whatever reason. So you don't have to worry about the sunlight coming in. There is another cool job would be a record executive, where you can go out and work at nightclubs, work in bars, work in different concert venues, get to know different types of artists, really use your hypnosis, use your ability to read thoughts and sense blood, really understand folks and get them to sign your record deal and then start working with the artists and really motivate them to make everybody tons of dough. So that would be another cool job as a vampire, or you could just be like a pimp or investment banker. With a vampire, you can go anywhere as long as you're not trying to work during the daylight. That'd be the one hard part is any type of job where you're required to meet with somebody. So if you have to meet clients, you'd be better off just saying, hey, we're going to meet for dinner. There's ways you can get around that piece. Another cool part of being a vampire is that they do have that, like I mentioned, that long lifespan. They're going to see the passage of time, hundreds, 200 years, 300 years from now. They'll be able to see how human history is unfolding and see all the changes that happen with music, art, culture, streets, cities, world powers, presidents. They will be able to see all these amazing things is what they'll be able to do with that long life. So those are just some of the highs of being a vampire. But when we think about the lows of being a vampire and the problems with being a vampire, there are a lot. There are just a ton and ton of problems with being a vampire. The first one is that becoming a vampire, that is going to be the first problem because you have to first let the vampire drink your blood and then you have to drink some of the vampire's blood. There's always a chance where the vampire is playing a trick on you. They're just going to suck all the blood out of your neck and you're just going to be dead. And that's going to be the end. There's that part. So there's got to be some type of trust between yourself and that vampire. So probably meeting a vampire in a park at nighttime and agreeing to be a vampire, that's probably not the way to go. You got to get to know that vampire a little bit more and get a little bit more trust before you can become one. Another part of it, which is problem with being a vampire, is that they could, you know, go through the process and first drink your blood, but then put some, and then say, well, I'm not going to give you my blood yet. You're going to have to work for me as a thrall, and then I'm going to give you some of my blood. So there's that part where it's not you having your own thrall. You're the thrall of some vampire, and you're at that vampire's mercy. They're going to leave you inside that dead slash undead, not really alive state for as long as they need to. And they're going to use you from that standpoint. So hopefully the vampire is a nice guy and they follow through on their word, or it could be after, I don't know, days, years, months, who knows on there. The vampire decides, okay, well, I thought I want to make this person a vampire. I choose not to. and then you got to sit down with the ramification of what they leave you inside this undead state. They kill you or they just completely abandon you and just walk away from you is what they could do. So trying to first become a vampire, there's got to be some kind of trust, and there's got to be something that's going to hold the vampire responsible to where he or she is going to follow through on their promise of actually turning you into a full vampire. So you really got to think about that first step. Don't just jump at it and let some vampire drink your blood. No. You really got to be able to hold them accountable and make sure that they go through their emotions and they make you become a let you become a vampire. So, all right, you get through that part. And so what are some of the other problems you're going to face? The first one is really starting out as a vampire. We typically think of vampires that they start weak and they get stronger over time. That may not be the case. You could start out as a weak vampire that really has no abilities, no special powers at all. You're just kind of walking around with just weird shaped teeth, and you never really get strong. You never get to that point to where you can use, hypnosis, where you can have all these special strengths and abilities. You may not get to that point because there's all different types of vampires out there. So kind of keep that in mind too, that you may not get all the really cool special abilities that you typically associate with being a vampire. In fact, your body degrades when you become a vampire. Almost like that movie Nosferatu with the person looks like and almost like a giant rat with teeth coming down, the weird pointy ears, no hair on the head, and it's just completely like a deformed person. Becoming a vampire could put you in that state where you're going to have to live the rest of your life in that state. Well, not the rest of your life, all eternity in that state until someone kills you. So that's something to really take note of, is that there's different types of vampires, and you may not have all abilities, and you may just kind of look like a weirdo freak is what you could look like, and not like what we typically think about vampires as being the sexy, great-looking vampires. Next part, as far as problems that can happen with being a vampire, and again, we typically think about vampires when we think of like that movie Interview with a Vampire. Well, at one point, the little girl, and I cannot remember the name of her for the life of me right now, she gets bit by the vampire, and her skin starts looking better, her hair looks better, and she's like a better version of herself is what she is on there. So we kind of think those things are going to happen with vampire, but it might not. It could be one of those situations where you get bit by a vampire, and the way you are today It's the way that you're going to be forever, the way you look today. It's the way you're going to look forever as a vampire. So if you're fat, if you're balding, if you got, you know, bad hair, if you got like a 1980s hairstyle, that could be you going around forever as a vampire with that same hairstyle is what it could be. Because you got to think like, well, if someone gets bitten in the 80s and that's the way their hair looks, wouldn't their hair be the same in 2020? That could be a huge problem as far as the way you look and if things are going to be able to change. You know, today as a human, if you want to change your looks, you can go work out. You can start eating right. You can make changes on there because your biology works. But as an undead vampire, your biology is most likely not going to work the way that it typically does with us. If a vampire starts lifting weights, a vampire starts going on, a diet where they limit the amount of blood that they're drinking, there's no chance that the vampire is going to start develop a six-pack. That's not going to happen on there. It's what it is. So maybe the vampire could get plastic surgery where they get like, liposuction or something like that. But again, there's a chance that even because of this quote-unquote vampire magic, that whatever they take out grows back and it looks just the same as it was before. So it's a bit of something to think about as far as personal appearance when you're a vampire. And speaking of with appearances, there's also the smell because you are undead. You are drinking blood is what you're doing on there. So there's always a chance as far as with vampires that they could have a bad smell. There could be some kind of magic where their flesh doesn't emit any smells to it, but more than likely they'll have some type of smell to it. The vampire will. So there's a chance that they can have bad breath. They can have some kind of bad body odor that's coming from their cavities. There could be some kind of gas that comes out, like a stinky fart or something. So there's always a chance with a vampire that they're not going to be this incredibly sexy vampire that's, you know, looking at the best version of yourselves. You could have, these type of issues there. Then there is limiting the amount of travel that you can do, which is something that's a little bit, for some people it's going to be harsh. There's other people it's not going to be so much harsh. You got to think with the vampires that they're not allowed to go inside the sun. So they're not hanging out on the beaches. They don't have the warm sun on their face. They're not going to the park during the daytime. It's almost like what's going on with the pandemic right now. Here it is in 2020 that people are shut inside their doors for the most part and they're social distancing. You as a vampire, you'll be going through the same exact thing every single day where you're going to be indoors during the daytime. The only time you can come out is at night. And even at nighttime, you're going to have limited contact with people. People are not going to want to walk up and talk to some stranger in the middle of the night. So that could be something that will take a while to get used to. No daytime activities, no sun from that standpoint. It could lead to depression. You know, that's what happens quite a bit up in Alaska because they have that 6 months where they have a great amount of sunshine. Then they have 6 months where the sunshine is very limited to where there's one day where there's 24 hours of darkness, one day where there's 24 hours of sunshine. That happens in Alaska. So and because of that, people, they can go through all kinds of things. They can go through depression. And from that standpoint, it also happens up in Portland, where in Seattle, where they have limited sun during the wintertime. So that can cause a high level depression. So that's something to be thoughtful about as far as how much do you really like being in the sun and whether or not you can go without seeing the sun, go without going to beaches and doing fun stuff during the daytime. Another point to keep in mind as far as which is it's both a positive and a negative. Like I mentioned before, as far as being, it's cool to see the passage of time and to see how things have changed. I'm 42 and I've seen the world change quite a bit. Very interesting, and there's been a lot of really cool things that have happened. But there's also some bad things that can happen with the passage of time, especially if you're talking about hundreds of years. 200 years, 300 years from now, where some of the cool things that you really enjoy about today, they are gone, is what they are. Everything from, if you think about a forest or a park or somewhere you like to go hiking at, eventually it gets bought and sold and turned into a mall or a restaurant or something of that sort. And even if you enjoy the mall or restaurant, maybe eventually it gets all demolished and becomes a parking lot, is what it is. There is all the cool TV shows that were on that are gone now. And it's one of those pieces where obviously there's new stuff's on. You got Netflix and stuff that's on record, and you can have everything from DVD and DVR on there. What we're seeing right now with technology, that how much things have accelerated with social media, that, you know, 100 years from now, is TV going to be as popular as it is today? And what about as far as movies go? Are they going to be as popular as they are today? Is it going to all just stay to streaming? Or is it going to be virtual reality? Or is it going to be something just brand new that we haven't even thought of that's going to pop up? And maybe you as a vampire, you really enjoy the cool stuff that's happening today. And you're saying to yourself, like, wow, you know, I really enjoy all this time, and you try to enjoy it as much as I can. And in a blink of an eye, 20 years, all that stuff has all been changed through technology. And that you're kind of looking back at the past like, wow, I really miss all this stuff. There's also the piece as far as with movies, with music, how much things have changed. When you think about from the time, you know, where about 100 years ago, you had jazz, which was super popular. And they had all the different jazz places that were around. And now you fast forward to today. Now you got a hip hop, which is pretty much everywhere is where it is. And it's got its influence everywhere. And there's going to be those changes in times where the things that you really do enjoy, they're going to be gone and they're not going to be around. So that's going to be a little bit to deal with too. Along with even bigger than that is things like your family and your friends that, you know, 200 years from now, your family, your friends, they're going to be dead. Even your kids, your grandkids by that time, they're going to be dead also too. So that can be very difficult to deal with, seeing your family members grow old, die. And, you know, it can get super emotional for you. So do keep that in mind as far as if you did want to be a vampire, as far as like you're going to, all your family members, they're going to eventually move on without you, is what can happen on there. And then on top of that, it could be a situation where your friends and family, they don't want you to be a vampire. You go to the park, you meet some guy or girl, and they turn you into a vampire. Everything looks great, and you're happy. You come back home, and you tell them all the great news, and they're all freaking out at you. They're like, oh, my God, this guy's a vampire, or a girl's a vampire. I mean, that could be quite a bit as far as for your family members, your wife, your son, your daughter. They could be scared of you. They may want to dime you out, and or they may even not agree with the overall lifestyle of the vampire and drinking blood. They could really reject you, and they could hate you for it. So that's going to be really touchy to go as far as like before you do that transaction in a park, you're probably better off going back and talking to your loved ones first and say, hey, I met this really cool vampire. I got the guarantee that he's going to turn me to one. What do you guys think? You guys going to support me? Are you with me? In that regards on there. There's also, when you think about vampires and some of the problems with being a vampire, it's really one of the main ones is that the fact that you do need to have a thrall. You do need to have some type of daytime guardian. You need to have someone that you can really control, someone that you can trust that can do things for you, such as buy a house, keep your affairs in order, and make sure you're protected while you sleep. That person, in my opinion, is basically a slave, is what they are. So you're going to have a slave that's going to have to work for you, is what you're going to have to do. And which is there's a lot of moral parts of having slaves from that standpoint. So that could be something that's difficult to deal with. Also, there's a chance that with the thrall could go crazy. The thrall could just kind of completely lose themselves and not convert over to that lifestyle pretty well, where they stop brushing their teeth, they start eating bugs, they don't understand themselves, and they're frustrated, they're angry. They lose their family members don't want to be around them anymore, and you have to deal with the fallout. You could really hate your thrall, where you see your thrall is really incompetent, and maybe it's one of those points where you even kill your dog or your thrall, or you renege on your deal to make the thrall into a vampire. So it's not, so yeah, you could be, turn out to be an asshole vampire that go around enslaving people that have them do your work for you. So there's that moral part to it. And that's that could be quite a bit to deal with on there over time, because if you keep doing it, keep using people and keep making them thralls and reneging your offer, eventually it's got to get to you psychologically is what it does on there. Most people, they could not psychologically handle that. Also with being a vampire, there's a chance that if you did have your thrall and you wanted your thrall and you were the nice guy, again, Casper, the vegan vampire, you go through with your promise and you turn your thrall into a full vampire, that thrall could turn on you and the thrall could reject you. Now, I shouldn't say thrall, the vampire now could turn on you. The vampire now could reject you. And he could hate you or be in competition with you. There's also the chance that you can run into other vampires that might turn on you, that might hate you, that might want to hurt you or hurt your family. They may be, the other vampires may be weirdos that are just not like you, where you're trying to live a righteous and upstanding life as a vampire, trying to get your blood in a very friendly way. They could just be complete assholes and have no regard for human life. So that could be something that you have to deal with, because you'll have to fight this vampire or you have to dime them out. As far as getting rid of them, it could be a lot as far as trying to understand vampire politics and who controls what area and who's allowed to do what and who's the big dog and where do you fit in that scenario? So it could be a huge problem as far as with understanding that whole vampire network and the way things operate. And speaking of the way things operate, there's an IRS, which is you just can't escape anymore nowadays. And with the tax system, with Social Security numbers, with the huge crackdown they've had as far as being able to understand and information technology and the way things flow. When I mentioned before about having your house set up, having some type of income in case you ever need some, you're going to have to really work around this IRS system that's ever evolving and ever changing. And with computers, metadata, big data, it'd be much more easy for them to try to figure out, hey, there's something shady going on here. There's somebody who's owned a house for 200 years and is in this person's name. Let's go investigate this. Oh, this thrall didn't file their taxes right. Let's go have a one-on-one conversation with this thrall. So now here you are, you're in your coffin or you're in your safe. Your thrall is in the living room trying to talk to the IRS. And obviously your thrall's all whacked out because he's in that undead state. It could be quite a bit as far as trying to trick the IRS into, believing and letting the situation go, because they could have, of course, foreclosed on your house, foreclosed on any assets and do a whole track down on things. So now you're trying to trick and fight the IRS. that can get difficult, or you can try to use your hypnosis to try to trick the agent so that you can get off that way. That'd be another option, but they're not going to come to you at the daytime. They're going to wait to come to you at, they're not going to come to you at nighttime. They're going to come to you, to your thrall during the daytime. So they're going to try to figure out a way to the bus people, and that's what they do. And they're very good at their job, despite what people are saying. They're actually really good at it. Just a few other pieces as far as whether some of the problems with being a vampire. There could be this uncontrollable bloodlust that you experience as a vampire. that drinking blood may potentially be the only thing that gives you pleasure, is just drinking blood. So it could be one of those things like in 30 Days a Night, where you just want to go crazy and just rip open people and just drink as much blood as possible, and you got no control over your body. It could be a situation like in that movie, Let the Right One In, which there's one of the ladies, she becomes a vampire and she immediately starts drinking the blood in her own arm. That could be the problem that happens. Who knows? It could be something where over time you're able to control your bloodlust, but it could be something that takes a long time to really understand and develop. There's also vampire hunters. If there's going to be a vampire, someone's going to go out there and try to hunt it. It's just one of the laws of the world. And you could have vampire hunters on your ass, people that specialize in hunting vampires that understand that, hey, vampires are real, and they're trying to find you and they're trying to kill you and they're trying to put a stake inside your heart. So you're going to have to learn how to fight and deal with vampire hunters. There is the overall, there's that feeling of, with the problem with being a vampire is that you are in that undead state. So things may not work the way they used to. The things that gave you joy, the taste buds, the way your hearing works, the way your skin feels, it could all be so different as far as being in an undead state where like maybe you're cold all the time. There's no emotion to you. There's no feeling. You don't feel any passion yourself. Maybe you lost all your humanity, and the only thing that gives you joy, the only thing that feels good, is just drinking blood. That's it. So that could be a really tough thing to have to deal with. Especially if you're thinking about, hey, I'm going to be Casper, the friendly vegan vampire. It could be one of those situations where you start out that way and you try as hard as you can, and you try to work it. But just like folks like that go on those gluten-free diets, there's chance times where they relapse and they go back to eating gluten. There's also times when people, they try to give up alcohol and they relapse and they go back to drinking. It could be one of those situations where you try your best in order to really hold on to humanity, but it's just gone and it doesn't come back at all. And you're just this thing. You don't breathe, you don't sleep, you don't do anything. All you do is just drink blood. That's the only thing that gives you pleasure. So that could be really tough to deal with. Finally, I would say overall, when you think about given a choice of being a vampire or not being one, I would say no. I think it's too risky to become a vampire. I think there's too many things that can go wrong at that initial introduction. I think the bloodlust that can really affect you. I think that losing your humanity, I think there's way high of a chance that that's going to happen. Also the part as far as with not being able to see the sun or enjoy the beaches, you're going to have some slave or thrall around you. Slavery is bad, and you're going to have to employ this slave, have this slave working for you the entire time. There's way too many things that can go wrong with being a vampire. So I do not recommend it. I would say if you meet somebody at nighttime that says they can turn you a vampire, run away, get away from that person, and enjoy your life. It is a very good one and a blessed one. So, hey guys, I just want to say thanks again for listening to my podcast. The plan is at least one new episode every Saturday. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to hit the subscribe, leave a review. You can also follow me on Twitter. My Twitter page is mallet_Joseph, which is mallet_Joseph, J-O-S-E-P-H. Thank you guys for listening, and please continue to stay weird.